I want to spend a few minutes today, and I want to talk to you about defeating discouragement. How many of you know that God is bigger than any discouragement that you could encounter? You know, I really don't want to have you raise your hand, but have any of you of late experienced a little bit of discouragement? Let me tell you, in our Wednesday evening service, we just decided to stop everything we were doing and have an old-fashioned prayer meeting, devil-stomping, rebuking prayer meeting. And we did it. Because as we went around and we were just having a discussion there, there were so many people saying, please pray for us. We're having a battle. We're having warfare. And I already knew what I was going to be preaching on. So, folks, let me tell you, by the way, we got a good teaching going on Wednesday nights. Amen. We're putting the devil on the run. But anybody ever experienced discouragement? Let me just tell you this. If you have, God is bigger than your discouragement. And folks, it doesn't matter if it's related to your work, money, or relationships, or just stressful things that are going on in your life. The challenge to all of us can be to defeat discouragement. Amen? And we've got a challenge before us. Now, how many of you know that it's our human nature to feel that we can't overcome obstacles that we face in life? Now, come on, let's be real today. I believe with all my heart in a positive God confession. I believe in prayer, but let me just tell you, every now and then, if we'll be real, we kind of feel as human beings that we're going to get overwhelmed by these obstacles that we face in life. But Jesus tells us in John 16 and 33, He said this, that He has overcome the world. Aren't you glad that we're serving a Savior that has overcome the world? How many of you are glad for that today? Amen. So here's the reality. When we choose to put our faith in the Lord Jesus, here's what He does. He gives us the strength to defeat discouragement. We could also call this overcoming your mountains. When you put your faith in Jesus, He gives you the strength to overcome these mountains. Jesus also tells us that even though we can be overwhelmed from time to time, you got to listen to this. How we respond when we are down is always a choice. Now turn to your neighbor and just say, it really is a choice. How I respond and how you respond in a down time or a discouraging time is really a choice. And let me just tell you, it really determines the outcome. And I think God is insisting on the fact that I come to a place that I rejoice in everything I'm going through. You ever had God determine something about your life or try to help you make up your mind about something? I mean, you know, there's a lot of opportunities to be discouraged today. But how we respond is a choice. Now, I want you to think just a moment with me about David, who eventually became the king of Israel, but I don't want you to think of him as the king just yet. Because David, like a lot of the Bible characters that really did something significant in their life, they went through a lot of trials and a lot of tests and a lot of tribulation. And David one day found himself faced absolutely with the most difficult situation of his life, but he made a decision about how he was going to respond. Now, he could have responded with fear. He could have responded by saying, hey, I've had enough of this stuff. I'm giving up. He could have even turned and in his heart said, God, I'm sick of this. You called me to be a king. You called me to be something. And now all I've got is a lot of problems. How many of you know David could have given up? But he didn't. You know what he did? David put his faith in God, and he recognized that there would be a fight. Beloved, I want to remind you today, we're in a fight, and it is real, and we do win. We are on the winning team because we put our faith in the one who's won it all for us. He did overcome the world. But David did recognize that there would be a fight, and to know that if he was with God, he'd win. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 30 tells us this, and we don't have time to go into the whole story, but it tells us that the town of Ziklag had been attacked. Now, this is the town that David had been given in the enemy's camp. Now, come on, I know some of you feel like your life is really bad. I have those days where I think, Lord, enough is enough. But let me tell you, old David really did have some real challenges. He couldn't even live in his own country. He was rejected by his own countrymen. He was rejected by the king of Israel, who, praise the Lord, because he didn't give up, he eventually replaced. He replaced him. But it says that the city of Ziklag, it had been burned, and it had been attacked. Actually, it had been burned to the ground. And with all the women and the children, here's what had happened to them. They had been taken captives. Everybody's. It would be like every man in here who is married. If suddenly an army came in and took our wives and our children, and here we'd all be, I'd be standing up here trying to inspire you, and you men wouldn't be real happy with me, because it says this, that all the men now decided they wanted David's head on a platter. That's when it's fun to be a leader. You're just doing what God told you. You're living in Ziklag. Just doing what God tells you to do, and suddenly here comes the enemy. Takes over, takes all the wind, burns your city that you've been given down to the ground. You think, this is it, I'm going to be here forever, and this is the way it's going to be. And all of a sudden, David finds himself in a lot of trouble. Do you think David was having some discouragement at this time? Let me tell you, if something happened to my wife, I'd be discouraged. I would be in grief. And David lost everything. And those who had followed David and put their trust in him had lost everything. It says they were angry with David. And it says they wanted to stone him. Now, we don't understand what stoning is today, but then it's just a bunch of guys picking up a bunch of big rocks and pounding you. It's kind of like some of you did your neighborhood kids when you were growing up. Pelted people with rocks. But these were not little rocks. The rocks that they used to stone people were rather massive. They wanted to kill them. They wanted to do some damage. And so here David is. But let me tell you what David did. And this is what every single one of us must do when we find ourselves in discouraging times. And you may be saying, man, my discouraging times have been going on for a long time. They won't always go on, and they won't always continue. But the Bible says this in this story. It says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what David did. He encouraged himself in the Lord. I'm going to tell you in just a moment how to do that. But listen to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8. It says, then David asked the Lord, should I chase after these band of raiders? Look, here he is. I mean, the guy is down. He's discouraged. Everything's gone. What's David doing? He's getting a hold of God. He's asking God, what should I do next? He's not holding his fists up to God and saying, hey, God, what's the deal here? I've been serving you. I've been faithful to you. What's going on here, God? I'll tell you what was going on. Let me just say this. God was just about to promote David to the ultimate destiny that he had for his life. Folks, let me tell you something. First off, you're going to do something significant for God. You better get ready to be tested. You will be tested, but you got to learn to rejoice and hang on to the God that called you into that test when you go through that, so you'll come through that test and you'll ultimately see your destiny. I believe I might just preach today. Hey, everybody can give up. There's very few people that are not giving up today. There's very few people that are staying true to God through thick and thin. Hey, having an attitude is easy for all of us. Isn't it? That's the easy thing to do. That's the easy way out, at least for the temporary moments. So David begins to seek God, and he said, God, shall I go after him? He said, yes, you go after them. And here's what God said, and this is a word to every one of us. He said, you will surely recover everything that was taken from you. Any of you ever felt like some things have been taken from you? Let me tell you, there comes a day, if you'll stay true to God, where you will recover everything that has been taken from you. Everything. You feel like you've lost a home? You feel like you've lost children? You feel like you've lost some things? Let me tell you what God says today for the person who will open their heart up and stir themselves to faith today. Let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to recover it all. You're going to recover it all. Now, through all of this, he remained true. And how many of you know all of us can become disheartened? But staying that way, you need to listen to me, is a choice. It's a choice. And I'm learning this more and more. Folks, listen, let me just tell you, you're not going to be able to control life. You're not going to be able to control people around you. You're not going to be able to control your bosses. Some of you, some of the people in your work environment, some of the people that you live with every day, you're not going to be able to change them. So you might as well give up. I've tried. But what we need to learn to do, all of us, me included, we need to learn to make a choice to see God in all of it and see that God is going to bring us through it all and that He is going to recover to us everything that's been lost. We can become disheartened, don't we? And so I want to tell you how you can encourage yourself in the Lord no matter how you feel. I'm grateful. I've been a pastor long enough to know that some of you are here today and some of you are listening today strictly by faith. You don't feel like being here. And I understand that. But you're here. That's faith. How many of you know that is faith? You didn't yield to your emotions and say, I don't feel good. I'm just going to stay home. And we've already clarified today would have been one of the greatest days to stay home that I think we've had all year long. And we all admitted, or at least a lot of us did, that we had a little temptation there to do so. You didn't do it. That's faith. How many of you know that's faith? Let me share three keys to defeating discouragement that we can take away from this story of David and Ziklag. The first key is that we have to be Godward minded. We have to have a Godward mindset. In everything we go through as the people of God, we have to have a mindset on God. And it's so easy when we go through a discouraging time to say, now what went wrong? Where did I miss it? Where did God miss it? Where did so-and-so miss it? Let me tell you, sometimes there's not being as much missed as we think there is. We don't like to admit it, but sometimes God's doing something a whole lot bigger in us than we ever care to admit. Let me tell you, God is more concerned, and I preached this a while back, of what's going on inside of me than what's going on the outside of me. I'm telling you, it's true. The Bible says that His primary calling on me and on you is to conform us to the image of Christ. Why does He want to do that? Because He's a big bully? No, because He wants the world reached. And how many of you know the saying, no test, no testimony? If you want to make a difference for God in this world, you're going to have to go through some tests and you are going to have to pass those tests. Now, some of my teachers, some of who are still alive today, passed me when I didn't need to pass because they wanted to get me out of their, as they say, to get out of their hair. Be quiet, mother. I think my mother paid them off. You pass him along, I'll give you so-and-so money, and then when he gets old enough, I'll pass him off to something else. Oh, but let me tell you about God. God is not an enabler. He loves us too much to be an enabler and to pass us on when we haven't passed a test. Well, I don't like God anymore. Well, shame on you. God knows what He's doing. And I'm not standing here telling you that everything happens to you. God says, okay, now I'm going to do this and I'm going to allow this evil in your life so that you can have some problems so I can test you and get you ready. But I'll tell you what God does. When the enemy comes in like He did with David, He uses it. He uses it to get us where we need to be. I'd like to think I'm further along in my spiritual walk than I am. But how many of you know we're not nearly as far along in our spiritual walk sometimes as we think we are? We got a long way to go. And God's got a world that He wants to reach. And how does He want to reach that world? He wants to reach that world through us. But in order for that to happen, we have to turn our mind toward God. And how many of you know a mind that is turned toward God? The devil cannot make us focus on discouragement. You get your eyes on God, you're going to see that God is working on your behalf, that He's working everything out for your benefit. And I know our logical mind says, how? And we scream inside when preachers like me are preaching messages like this. How is He going to turn this for my good? Because He's God. Because He's God, and because He can, and because He has said that He will. God is, the Bible says, He can't lie. God is going to turn everything together for your good. How many of you have been through some things you're wondering, how is this going to work together for my good? I have. And I'm getting old enough now and have been doing this long enough, I look back and I realize, and it's what makes me press on. There were times in my life before I thought, God, what are You doing? Why are You allowing this? Why is this going on? And then afterwards you get through it and you say, oh God, thank You. You knew exactly what You were doing. Thank You, God, that You didn't answer some of those prayers that I prayed in the midst of that trial. I just want to move, Lord. Give me, I need out, Lord. All preachers and ministers in a church can identify, God, move me to something else, please. I heard Jim say, I'm preaching off Jim again. Jim, come on now, brother, come on. He knows. God, deliver us. And some of you are saying the same thing about your job. God, deliver us. He ain't going to do it. You can deliver yourself, though, and get yourself in a real big mess. Now, there's a time to move, beloved, and there's a time to sit. And I'm going to tell you, the vast majority of people who are Christians move out of situations far too quick before God is ready for them to move out. I want a big amen. Amen. We move before God says move. And I don't interfere anymore when people say, the Lord said for us to move. Blessings on you. I'll see you in about 6 years when the world you're in falls apart. How many of you know God is so patient with us? Aren't you glad that God is so patient and so kind? Aren't you? We want God to be patient when we're messing up, and He is. He is long-suffering. I mean, that is who He is. But when it comes to somebody else that has messed us around, it's like, get them, God. I tell you what settled that with me. When God said, well, I guess if you want me to get them, then I got to get you first. Gotcha. Oh, yeah. What did Jesus say? Take the little speck out of your own eye. Or take the beam out of your own eye. You're worried about a speck that's in your brother's eye. Folks, listen. In all this, you know what I'm saying is true. In all this, you know what we have to do when we face these discouragements? We have to do what David did. We choose to see God in everything. Even in the bad times. Even when there seems to be no hope. How many of you know when Jesus was put in that grave, there was seemingly no hope? There was no hope at all when they put Him in that grave and they sealed the tomb. It looked like it was all over. It looked like all this Jesus stuff and this Messiah stuff was gone. But guess what? 3 days later, Jesus, through a miracle of God, raised His mortal body. You think God can't take your situation and raise it through resurrection life? Oh, He can. But you got to do like David. You have to have a mindset of thinking about God. And you choose to see God in everything. In other words, you have to make a choice. And God enables us to do that. You know, I've thought about this. Sometimes it just, I know some of you don't think this is crazy, but you do it. You just, if you'll analyze. Every now and then we just like to sit around and soak and sour. Especially if you kind of have a introverted personality. We just want to soak and sour. I'll just soak in this a while. But we have to make a decision. And we have to do like David and say, God, He's in this thing. He's in it with me. A verse that I love is Hebrews 13 and 5. It says, God tells us this, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. On your worst day when your brain is saying, God didn't leave before, but this time He has left. He's not here. I did something somewhere along the way. God has left me and He's gone. No, He's not. God will never leave you ever. And He will never forsake you. How many of you know it's one thing to leave somebody, but it's another thing to be forsaken by somebody? When you are forsaken, it means you're in a hardship, and suddenly that person who's in it with you says, I'm forsaking you. I don't want in on this. This is getting too hot for me. How many of you know God doesn't do that to us? He doesn't leave us. He doesn't leave us behind. And He doesn't forsake us. He doesn't say, hey, this is too tough and I don't like this. I'm checking out. I'm forsaking you. Aren't you glad that God does that? He stays with us. In other words, He's always there. Now, we've got to choose to see Him in all circumstances. Folks, I don't like bad circumstances. How many of you like bad circumstances? I don't like them. I don't like them at all. I don't like the tension that comes in relationships. I don't like the problems that develop because we're human beings living in this fallen world. I don't like any of it. But God says, I'm with you. I'm going to strengthen you and make a decision to be a God person about this. Now, I want to say this. You need to hear what I'm saying. Because if you don't, you will get overwhelmed. Today, like no other day, if you don't make a decision to have your mind on God, you will get overwhelmed. Am I the only one in this house? You will get overwhelmed. And let me just tell you, the number one way you get God on your mind is you get in that Word and you stay in that Word. And I don't care how you feel when you get up, whether you're feeling sleepy, whatever's going on, you get up and you spend time in that Word. And I don't care what's going on when it's church time. I don't care how you feel. If you're not having to be gone for some really legitimate reason, get yourself up and get in the house of God and come and say, I don't care how I feel today, rainy, time change, everything. I'm going to praise the Lord anyway. I'm going to lift my hands and I'm going to give God praise and I'm going to set my mind right. It is absolutely imperative that we stop living according to our brains. They're messed up. Somebody say, I know, I used some LSD a few years ago and mine's messed up. Well, you're not the only one. Somebody said, I've got you beat. I used a little crack last week. I'm trying to overcome it. That's funny unless you're trying to overcome crack, isn't it? But I'm going to tell you something. You can overcome crack cocaine. You can overcome anything the devil throws at you. You can overcome anything in God that is thrown your way or that your body wants. Amen. I know it for a fact. Because the one who is in you is greater than this world that's all around you. You got to have a mindset. And you have to know that God is bigger than your problems. David said this in Psalm 16 and verse 8. He said, I have set the Lord always before me because He is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. Always got God in my mind. Folks, let me tell you something. Let me tell you another way that you keep God on your mind and you keep God in your life. You absolutely understand the vital necessity of gathering together with a small group of disciples who are encouraging one another. You get in a small group and you let one another encourage one another. And you. How many of you know, I'm just trying to inspire you right now. I'm trying to encourage you. I'm trying to motivate you. I'm trying to get your motor started today. Trying to get your fire lit. But you got to take it to the next step, and you got to get face to face with some folks. Come on, come on. When I usually start preaching about small groups, part of you start reading your book. Quit reading that bulletin right now. You listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Get yourself in a small group. I've been seeing this lately when I preach on small groups. Cut that stuff out. obey God. Come on, if Jesus needed some disciples to hang out with him, don't you think you need some? Jesus chose 12 knuckleheads that ended up becoming apostles of God, and he molded them and he discipled them. Don't you think you need it? Why, man, I've already got it together. Yeah, come on. Hang with me for a week. I'm learning some things. We need to be together. We need to encourage one another. I say this from time to time. You can't make disciples looking at the back of somebody's head. Look at all those heads you're looking at. Some of it's gray, some of it's blonde, some of it's white, some of it ain't there. Go ahead and look around. It's okay now. We're going to redo all these lights eventually where I can get down there and just be with you and preach. We might just have a little small group right there. How many of you know we need these things to overcome? You need a small group. The good thing about inspirational preaching, you just lose your notes. You don't even know where you're at. That's okay. Let me give you the second key, folks, to overcoming discouragement. Is you have to have realistic expectations. I think because of the world that we live in now and the country that we live in, we have unrealistic expectations about what life really should be and what life really is. We've been so fortunate in this country to live in a prosperity that I don't think anyone in history has ever known. But I think in one sense, it's kind of messed with everybody's minds because we've got an unrealistic expectation about what life ought to be and about what our walk with God ought to be. And you know, it's easy for preachers to preach all this fluffy stuff during a good time. But let me tell you, when things start changing, you got to start thinking about some of that stuff. God never said it would always be easy. I'm sorry that America is going through what it is going through. But hello, everybody, it's a reality. And so we have to have realistic expectations about what God wants to do in us and through us and in our world. When Samuel anointed David, David knew this. He knew that his journey of becoming king would not be easy and that he would have to be in a fight. But he also knew this, and this is what I do want you to hear. He knew that he would win. I have no doubt about whether or not, if we stay true to God, whether we win. None whatsoever. If I give up, if I get fearful, if I let discouragement totally take over my life, guess what? I have no guarantee that I'm going to win. John 16 and 33, I want to read it. It says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." God says, I want you to have peace. He said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, did you hear this? This doesn't fit in with our theology. This doesn't fit in with how we usually think. God says, I am speaking these things to you so that you will have peace, tranquility, calmness. In this world you will have tribulation. I'm speaking this to you, Jesus said, so you'll have peace, so you won't be caught off guard. See, the problem is a lot of us don't know what God said in His Word. We know what American culture says. We know what they're teaching us on television. We know what the news channels are saying, but we're not sure what God has said. God says, I am giving this to you that you might have peace. In this world you will have tribulation. That's not doubt and that's not unbelief. But he said this, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Aren't you glad? We ought to give God a big praise for his victory in this world. I never saw that until this week. I want you to have peace. But understand this, you're going to have tribulation. But in the midst of the tribulation, I am with you. I haven't forsaken you. And you are going to overcome because I've overcome the world. That's what Jesus said. How many of you know there can be tough times in marriage? I'm so proud of my wife. We've been married now, how long? 32 years? Just nod, yes, that's correct. I'm going to tell you who the real strength of our home is. It's her. And I hope she'd say that about me, whether she believed it or not. We've had a few bumps in the road. Amen? I mean, you know, you can have challenges with your kids. Anyone had challenges with kids? Kids all cover your ears, those of you who are here. How about in your finances? Folks, here's the reality. Pretty much everything in your life, you are going to have to fight the devil for. And let me just preach again just a little bit. You've got to reserve some energy and some strength to fight the devil. You can't get up and burn the candle at both ends and then say, bring it on, devil, because you know what he'll do? He'll get you so busy. I mean, he'll get you where you can't even think straight, and then he'll come in with the big blow. And that's exactly what he wants to do. You know why? Because he wants to bring shame on your life. Men, listen to me. The devil wants to bring shame on your life by getting you so busy and caught up in this world that you go do things that you don't need to do. He wants to bring shame on your family. But let me tell you ultimately what he wants to do. He wants to bring shame on the kingdom of God. Men, listen to me. You are so vital to what God wants to do. I appreciate the women. I love you. I do. And I can say this. I love this woman and like no woman other. But I appreciate women and I love everything about women. I love their godliness. I love their willingness to serve. But men, listen. Come on, men. Right now, we can't get caught up in all the stress of the world and say, hey, here, you ladies do it. God needs all of us. He needs the ladies. He needs the men. He needs the children. He needs the students. He needs everybody. Because, folks, let me tell you, I'm going to say it again, we're in a fight. And the day we forget that we're in a fight, the day that we stop fighting spiritually, is the day we're going to find ourselves in trouble. And all of us know what that battle's like. Thank God for His grace when He sees us through. And I don't for a moment believe that the devil is as equally as strong as God. I think the problem is sometimes we just don't go to God and don't exercise our authority like we need to. And I think what we do, we try to exercise that authority on our own and in our own strength. God never called Christians to fight this thing on their own. But bless God, you know, we're just going to do it alone. You know, man, I don't need God's people. I don't need to be in a small group. I don't need to be in prayer meeting. I don't need to be in church. Oh, yes, you do. I think I'm going to kick it up to a new level and just preach a little bit. I was going to be so quiet and so soft and so I was going to be a Joel Osteen today and just exhort you and lift you up. And God, the fire hits. And it hits Brother Joel just in a different way. I'm going to give you a third point on how to overcome discouragement. The third key to overcoming discouragement is you have to have faith in God's grace. Now, what qualified David to earn God's grace? What qualified him to earn God's grace? Nothing. See, we think, you know, how many of you remember when you were a little in school and you had this star rating system? They still have some kind of system now. Pamela could probably tell us about it. How many of you know, if you did certain things, you turned in your lesson on time, you got a star. I didn't get very many stars. I'd look over there and I would see the girls. They always had a lot. You notice the girls always had stars. You know, turned in their homework, made 90, and there was always a few nerd guys. They had the stars. Sometimes they would have every one of them, made a 98 on every test. Folks, God's not into a star system. Okay, let's see, how many times have we gone to church this month? Ooh, we better go. We got to get some stars. Boom! Folks, God isn't into the star system except the galaxy, the one he created. Oh, okay, the preacher's beating up on me. I think I'll go to small group and get some stars. And I'm going to hate every minute of it while I eat that carrot at the small group. I'm here, Pastor. No, you're not there. You're somewhere else. How many of you know nothing qualifies us for the grace of God but what Jesus has done for us? Oh, I remember years ago when I first started preaching. I mean, I was going to earn those stars. I was going to be the hardest working pastor, and I believe in hard work, and I believe preachers ought to be working hard. But you know, when you're doing it to try to earn something from God, you know, if I just work a little harder, if I get a few more souls saved, if get a few more people baptized, you know, get a few more people doing this and that. How many of you know I woke up one day and I realized I was trying to earn something from God, and when I finally came to God and said, God, I can't do this anymore, it was almost like God applauded and said, thank God now. Let me give you my grace. I mean, you know, none of us can do what we do apart from the grace of God. Amen. The grace of God is the enablement of God to do what He's called us to do. And the day I begin to try to do it in my own strength and, you know, try to make a name for myself, guess what? It won't happen. When a thing that David did, other than God choosing him, and God has chosen every one of us to do something and to make a difference. And the only thing that qualifies us is God's grace. You listen to me, beloved. In those times when everything is falling apart, guess who always shows up? The devil. He always shows up. And you know what he begins to do? He begins to talk about the situation that you're in and some of the things that you're not doing. And here's what he says. He says, you're not doing enough. He says, you are a failure. If the truth be known, a lot of God's people feel like they are failures, though we are not in Christ. He'll tell you this too. He says, you're defective. And so God can't use you anymore. Trust me, a lot of people feel defective today. They feel like God can't use them. And I'm telling you, it's the devil who has come into your life or come to you to discourage you. Anyone ever heard those words? You're defective. You've blown it now. How many of you know the devil is still in the business of killing and stealing and destroying? How many of you know that? Oh, he's still in that business. And I think the church is waking up to that once again to realize this is a real battle. This is a real fight that we're in. But oh, aren't you glad that we're winning, beloved? I want you to realize this today. Everybody gets discouraged. Everybody. Preachers included. Deacons get discouraged. Elders get discouraged. The folks who run the sound get discouraged. The folks working with the children and the student ministry. The small group leaders. The small group attenders. We all get discouraged. And it is the devil's job to show up and tell us that we have missed it, that we are out of this thing, and there's no use in pressing on. Just go ahead and give up. We're not going to let that happen. You think about this. David, like I believe we're all going to do today, he chose to encourage himself in the Lord. Beloved, sometimes there is no one but the Lord. He chose with his wife gone, his children gone. He didn't know. Hey, man, he didn't have email. He didn't have texting. He didn't have the internet. He didn't have MySpace to find out, are my children alive or are they dead? And what did he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. He got before God. He said, I'm not going to have this attitude. I'm not going to listen to the report of the devil. I'm not going to listen to all these enemies. He got together and he encouraged himself. Can you imagine doing that when your city you live in, if you just came in here and this city was all gone, burned to the ground, while you'd been off fighting a battle, and you came home and everything's gone. The kids are gone. The wife is gone. And not only that, the wives and the children of the other men been all fighting the battle with you, and now everybody's wanting to kill you. Come on now. Think about what David did. David encouraged himself in the Lord. Beloved, listen to me, and I'm announcing to every one of us, we serve a great God who hasn't died. Come on, forgive me. I'm just a little bit fired up today. God is bigger than our giants. And he's bigger than discouragement. And he's bigger than our fears. And he's bigger than the problems that we have in our lives. Though they are real, he is bigger than those. And he is with you today. He hadn't gone anywhere. I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I think we ought to stand and we ought to give God a praise right now. Come on, give God a praise. Come on, not a patty cake. Some of you patty cake too much. How about a next notch for God? Now, folks, every now and then, you just got to get angry at the devil. And you've got to say to him through the authority of Jesus Christ, get out of here. You bind him. You tell him to get out of your family. You tell him to get out of your business. You tell him, come on, tell him to get out of your health. And start declaring God's word over your health. It's okay to convey to your friends what you need prayer about, but my God, on Monday, get up and declare the word. Are you hearing me today? Are you hearing me? We got to stop declaring the problems and start declaring the solution and quoting the word and speaking the word. And that means we've got to get in the word. We've come to a new time in this world, folks. And I think I sense the body of Christ awakening to the reality of the time we live. Jesus spoke of it. He said it would be very evil and perilous times. We're there, folks. But you know what that means? That means our time on this earth isn't going to last that much longer. It means that God is going to come. But it also means this. It means that we've got to understand what our job is right now. Folks, listen. Now is the time to work for Jesus. Sure, you get discouraged. Sure, you want to give up and you want to quit. Now's when he needs us. He's with us. You ready for prayer? I'm going to pray for God to strengthen us and empower us. And then, Mark, I want us to get ready in just a moment. We sang a song, I cannot remember which one it was, about God's victory in our lives and how we're going to win. We're going to go out today rejoicing and singing and praising. I'm going to pray, folks, but let me tell you, let me just speak to you for a moment. The church better get back to the place where we come in ready to praise and have a praise meeting. Did you hear what I said? Well, don't look at me stone-faced. You ought to be shouting. And I don't want to say too much today or things that I don't need to say. Folks, it's time to reawaken the giant called the body of Christ and get the devil on the run. Oh, there's so much I want to say, but I'm going to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray your strength and your determination would come to every person within the sound of my voice today. Father, it begins today. The encouragement begins today, Lord, by taking a stand against apathy and taking a stand against the devil. Father, reinforce your people today and affirm to them their absolute authority, and that when they speak the name of Jesus, demons tremble. And Father, when we praise from our heart and we lift our hands and our heart to you, Lord, it scatters the enemy. Father, let us have a new resolve today to wake up tomorrow morning with a praise on our lips. And Lord, help us when we end the day to end with a praise on our lips. And then when it's time to gather in our small groups, Lord, even though our flesh doesn't want to, and Lord, when it's time to come into this place where we worship, God, let us be determined to defeat discouragement. In Jesus' name.